Well, shalom, and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. You know that each week I do try to bring you some music of interest, and I trust you're enjoying the programs. You're listening anyway. This is show number 204 of June 24th, 2013. So let's go back 21 years ago to 1992. Those of you who have been listening to my program since 1977 know that it's rare that I repeat programs. But every once in a while, there's a couple that I felt were very special. And in fact, the one that I'm going to be replaying this evening is one that has been the most often of my interviews that most often requested of the interviews that I've done over the years. And I have always been so pleased that I captured the moment, if you will, in 1992. August 30th of 1992, I went down to Lakewood to interview four of the five Molovsky children. It was, actually there were six, but Al passed away quite a few years ago. And it was Goldie, Gitti, who was also known as Trudy, Mort, and Ruthie. Minnie was not there. And since that time, Goldie has passed away, and Gitti and Mort. Mort just passed away about 2.5 years ago. So of the six Molovsky children, the only two that are surviving were the two youngest, Ruthie, who is in California, and Minnie, who is in New York. So let's go back 21 years ago. It was in Lakewood, New Jersey. That's where the Cantor retired, if you will. And I was thinking it's also sort of appropriate because Molovsky was so close with the Rosenblatt family, with Yesila and the family. And in this interview, you'll hear some interesting comments about the relationship that the two families had. I'm sure you'll find it of interest. So let's go to that interview of 21 years ago, August 30th, 1992.
I'm in the home of Goldie Molovsky
Goldman.
Yeah. And I'm so proud to be together with four of the Molovsky children. There's Goldie, there's Trudy, who is also known as Gitti, there's Ruthie, and Mort. This two-hour special will take us through some of the history of the Molovsky family, and we'll be hearing much of the great, great music that was performed by the family together with their father, the great cantor Samuel Molovsky. First, let me introduce the various members of the family to you. First, we'll start with Goldie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Goldie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, now I'm in a little trouble because I have...
No, it's all right. She's fine, right?
Yeah.
No problem.
But I'm all right.
She's just part... Okay. She's the other half of me.
Okay.
She's the other half of me. She's the Goldie and I'm the Gitti.
Okay.
We are known as the Marlin sisters and the Molovsky Schwester, and this is Goldila, who does all the Chazonish, and I try to do my best to help her the best I can.
You were the Marlin sisters?
We were the Marlin sisters. We had the radio show. After the Barry sisters left the Cavalcade of Stars, we came in from San Francisco, and they were looking for two girls who could sing and talk Yiddish. So we were the Molovsky sisters. We had our little radio program for the Forwards. For the Forwards, when it was at Emissa Forwards, you know,
yes.
With the Yiddish, with the Rotek Review section and everything else. So we came in, we had a Forward Hour, and they saw us singing there. They asked us if we would like to take that show, because the Barry sisters were leaving.
Now, was this before or after you were singing together with your father?
We were always singing together with Papa first. Okay. Yeah, we came here, we had a radio program, the Molovsky radio program, on WEVD when it was... First WEVD, very, very important Jewish program in New York. Only Yiddish. But they did have it. No, they yes. It was only Yiddish.
Yeah.
Strictly
Dick Sugar was the announcer, I remember correctly, and he was the only one that spoke English.
Oscar Gorin
was the Jewish announcer.
And Svi Schuller was a top announcer. And
Bob Sugar was the only English announcer, I remember.
Who was the orchestra leader?
We
had Seymour Rertside and Miriam Cresson. No. I'll think about it as we go along.
Okay, now we've been hearing, you've heard Mort in the background, and let's say good morning to Ruthie.
Hi, I'm Ruthie. I'm next to the youngest, and I just added in the alto section.
Okay,
I wasn't one of the stars.
Ruthie and I were fill-ins mostly.
Yeah, but we could not do it without the fill-ins. How can you do anything without the fill-ins? They were a very, very important part of
We made a special sound.
They made the sound of the Malofskys. The Malofskys had a sound that nobody can ever duplicate, and they were part of the sound.
I'm not here anymore to do it for it.
Tell us, how did you all get involved with music to begin with?
Sure, go ahead.
We used to sing Zmiris around the table on Friday night. And then it was just me and my older brother and Goldie, and then the youngers came in. Then Mutti came in, Morty, and then Ruthie got born, and then Mickey, our little sister Minnie. And then we all started to sing together, and the more we sang, the more beautifully we harmonized naturally. Natural harmonizing, until we started to daven Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach.
The people used to stand outside the windows on the summer evenings. We lived in Philadelphia as children. And people used to stand outside the windows when we used to sing Zmiris on Friday night. It was really beautiful.
You were originally from Philadelphia?
No. We're each born in a different state.
Oh.
Gold is the only one born in Philadelphia.
I'm the only one who was born in Philadelphia.
We're each born in a different state, the six of us, because we were traveling.
Traveled around as a cantor. He went from shul to shul. He was in demand. He was probably one of the most famous cantors in the country, and everybody wanted him. And
especially after he made the records with Yossele Rosenblatt.
Why don't you tell us about your father?
My father was the greatest cantor in the whole world. The greatest cantor, and he was a protege of Yossele Rosenblatt. And he learned.
He was a boy cantor.
He was a boy chazan in Smila. In Russia.
He left his home when he was a little boy, 9, 10 years old, and he traveled with these people from the shul. They went across Russia. When you saw that picture of
Fiddler.
The fiddler, and the picture that she did for her father.
Oh, Robert Streisand.
Streisand did that picture about traveling with the Yiddish group. Papa did that, and he was a little boy. He had to leave his family and go all around because he was such a boy wonder.
Now, what year was your papa born? Do you
I don't remember. No, I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
Before 1900, yeah.
And then he came?
A little boy traveling in Russia, and then his mom got sick and died, and his father sent him to America. And he came as a young man to America, and he didn't know who to be in touch with. And he found Yossele Rosenblatt, and Yossele took him under his wing, and he lived with Yossele, and Yossele trained him, and he was part of the family.
He was raised in Yossele Rosenblatt's house.
He had many children.
With his children.
With his children. He lived there with them.
I didn't know that aspect, he had been that close with Yossele.
Yes, they were the interferer in the wedding, of Mom and Papa's wedding, Yossele and Mrs. Rosenblatt.
And then they had a beautiful house on the beach in Long Beach, Long Branch, from New York to Long Branch, New Jersey, and Papa and Mom were there every summer, even when the kids were born.
This is the Rosenblatts had a...
They were very wealthy. And Rosenblatt used to have the chef and the cook and the maids, and they used to invite everybody to their house, and it was a wonderful experience for Mom and Pop.
Did you meet Rosenblatt yourselves? I mean, you all...
Well, we would spend a lot of time with Mrs. Rosenblatt, because Yossele Rosenblatt died very young in Israel. And that was, we were young.
That was 1933.
Yeah, but we were very young at the time, so we don't remember.
I wasn't born.
No.
I never met Yossele.
No, we were just infants, but we don't remember that aspect of it.
But then you did remain friends with the family.
Mrs. Rosenblatt. She died right here in Lakewood.
Because she came to be with us, and she lived here in Lakewood.
She lived in Lakewood in a hotel. She lived in a hotel in Lakewood, and we used to go see her every single day.
Let's just take a brief break from the interview and let you hear a selection of Yossele Rosenblatt together with cantor Shmuel Malofsky. This was recorded on May 5th, 1926. Zogje Revenue. Cantor Shmuel Malofsky together with Yossele Rosenblatt.
Zogje Revenue. Groß wird sein Ad Mashiach wird schon kommen. Ad Mashiach wird kommen, weil wir machen das den Jus. Will mir retten auf den zu den Jus. Dem Schoer habor mit dem
certainly an early recording from May 5th, 1926, Zogzha Revenue. But let's go back even a few years earlier to July 1919. Now, this is a selection I doubt many of you have ever heard before, but this is Yosla Rosenblatt and Shmuel Malofsky with Onward, Jewish Legion. Onward Jewish Legion, recorded July 1919. Was a very early recording of Shmuel Malofsky together with Yosla Rosenblatt. Now back to our interview with the Malofsky children. Did you maintain any relationship with Henry or any of the children?
We were very friendly with Henry. I don't even know. Henry
was with us all the time.
Henry helped Papa write his recitativen. I still have the book.
We had one record with Henry on it.
Yeah.
Henry wanted to sing with us. So
he always sang with us in the most biggest things that we'd ever did.
We loved him like a brother. He was a wonderful person. He still is, as far as I know. He lives
become a little distant since we moved to Lakewood.
We haven't seen Henry for a while. I think he's still living in New York.
He's living in the Ansonia Hotel in New York all these years.
Yes, and I know that he's been involved in writing some histories about his father recently.
I have the book he wrote about his father, and he was praying for a stamp. They were going to make a stamp of Yosla Rosenblatt, but it never materialized. He didn't have enough political push.
We're thinking of writing a book for Pop also.
It's such an incredible book. It's such an incredible experience.
Once we can get over the shock of losing, we'll maybe get together and write a book.
Now, when Rosenblatt died, were you living in Lakewood at the time?
No, we were living in Philadelphia. We hadn't even gone to San Francisco yet, to California, because that's where we really grew up, is in California.
Well, tell us a little bit about this, because I always associate you with Lakewood. After Philadelphia, what happened?
No, we moved from Philadelphia. The kids were babies. We were the lower department, we used to call them.
I became cantor at the Webster Street Shul in downtown San Francisco. That was the Fillmore section, which was the Hecht Yiddish area of San Francisco.
Right. It was like Williamsburg.
And he brought us all back to San Francisco. We all lived there, and most of our formidable years were actually spent in San Francisco.
About what year would that have been? The 30s would that be?
About the 40s, 38, 39, 40, when the kids were still going to grammar school. Yeah, then we moved to Los Angeles because something happened to Webster Street. I don't remember.
Then we went back to San Francisco.
And
we went to junior high school and to high school there.
Yeah.
We all.
And that's when Goldie and I started to sing hillbilly country music.
We were doing country music, and we decided that was the best thing that we do, and Papa could help me do it, because we used to sing us the songs.
We were davening and singing country music at the same time, because the davening didn't pay too well. You know what I mean? So we got a job in a nightclub in the International Settlement in San Francisco. In the gay 90s, of all places, and we sang.
Tell them about how you made the trip with Papa Cross Country.
Well, this was afterwards.
Yeah, when you finished, we were going to move to New York. Remember? Papa wanted New York to hear us, because San Francisco wasn't big enough at the time. So he said, we all have to go to New York. He wants everybody to Denison from the Family Sound.
We were hired to come across the street, but it's just the two of us.
The two of us were going to take a trip to San Francisco on the
Keith Circuit.
So what is the Keith Circuit?
It was a traveling theater show.
Hillbilly music.
We did core. Yeah. We did our country music. We were the original country music singers, I think.
And they were too young to go themselves. So Papa went with them. He was a backstage father. And he went across country by train with them and stopped in every little city with the circuit. And they came to New York, and they got settled in New York.
That's when we got the
WEBD station. Yeah. And then they called us to all come, and that's when we came to New York.
But your father had been with us in a shul in San Francisco,
and now he took
the trip across the country to New York. Then what happened?
Well, then we got the radio.
We got the radio program.
We got the radio program. Then we started making records.
You started to sing. Well, you sang in the Concord with Papa.
We sang in all the big hotels.
Singers, you went to sing with them in the mountains.
Yeah, we sang.
And they saw that there was jobs for the family and money to make, and people would enjoy us because there were so many nice Jewish people. So he called for us to come to New York.
And New York was basically, at that time, the springboard of the world, they used to call it. Anybody who was anybody started in the Brill Building in New York. No place else in the whole world.
What was the Brill Building? I never heard that.
Yeah, you're so young. I hate you. I can't stand it. The Brill Building was Tin Pan Alley.
Uh-huh.
Now, you heard of Tin Pan Alley, where everybody in the whole world used to start, only in the Brill Building.
And
it was Jack Dempsey's restaurant.
All the music writers, all the musical directors, all the publishing houses.
Publishing houses.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And right next door was Jack Dempsey's restaurant with the cheesecake. You must have heard of that.
Yes.
And then... So then we got our.
Then we were kitchen.
Then we got that. We got the Cavalcade of Stars, and we were called the Malofsky Weber Sisters. We didn't have the name Marlin yet.
Well, what's Weber?
It was the name that the country music person that we worked for in San Francisco said, "You can't be country music Malofsky. This is country music." He said, "I'll give." He looked through the dictionary. He said, "Weber Sisters with two B's." I said, "Okay, we don't care. Just make up the checks to Malofsky." That's what we said, right?
We made the first records that time.
Yeah, I said to Mr. Goldman, "Make out the check to Malofsky, but you can call us anything you want." So then, when we got the
Do you have any recordings of this?
Not cornball stuff. So then we got this Cavalcade of Stars that I was telling you about, with Sam Medoff at the organ, and with Seymour Rethsight and Jan Bart. Remember him?
Yes.
And they had a weekly program.
Every Sunday
morning. So wherever we were, from all over the country, giving concerts with the family, they had to fly home to do the show. So we had to make arrangements. It was snowstorms and floods and everything. And those girls had to fly home
to do that show. Plane or train. We made that show every Sunday morning.
Every Sunday morning.
And then Harry Hirschfield, 1 week, was the master of ceremonies on that show. And we didn't have a name. We just called us Gitzela and Goldela. He said, "You got to have a name to identify yourself." So he was a great comedian years ago.
Yes.
I have to say how many years ago. And Sam Levinson also was on that show many times. Uh-huh. And Joey Bishop was on that show many times.
Everybody.
We met so many. Henny Youngman was on that show constantly. And we met all these people. But we were so busy davening, we could have gone along and maybe become more popular and more financially...
Secure.
But we davened. That's what we wanted to do was daven.
So he had to find a name for them.
So we were standing. There was a big
window. He's looking out the window.
Yeah, and there's a sign on the outside. And there's a sign on the outside there that said Marlin Razor Blades. That's the truth.
Marlin
Ra- razor blade.
And he said he liked it.
He said, I like that name. You're the Marlin sisters. I said, okay, we're the Marlin sisters.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened.
All the songs we sang. Huh? All the songs we ever sang.
And then we started to be the Marlin sisters because it was easy to say, easy to remember. Because when they say, what's your name? I said, Marlin, like the razor blade. So nobody could forget it.
Now, about what year would that be?
This is before we went to Israel. Oh, yeah. 1948, 49, and 50.
51. Yeah. 51. 50. 50.
50. 50. 50. 50.
We didn't have to go to Israel.
To 52. We went to 52. Yeah. That's when Papa started working on our Israel trip.
Okay. Tell us, first of all, I think when I met you before, you told me about driving in an old car down to Florida. How about...
That's Morty's apartment.
How the whole family got into this big old car.
We had a 1938 Buick Limited that was custom designed, and it had jump seats.
Designed for agony. For absolute agony.
It had jump seats, like they do in the limousines.
Right.
And we drove all over the...
150,000 miles.
All over the world, all over the country with it. We did all kinds of concert tours, and we had all kinds of compartments where we could store our records, so that when we did concert work, everybody wanted to sell our records, all the communities and all the different organizations that brought us down. We did the Jewish Welfare Board, B'nai B'rith, all the other organizations that brought us down. They used to Ganesh from the fact
Ganesh,
that...
Ganesh, you have to explain that word, Ganesh. Does everybody know what Ganesh means? Ganesh means that they should benefit from the fact that we did have records because we split the profits with them all the time.
And so
they used to carry records, and they used to sell the records after and between the programs.
Just like which they
was
do the T-shirts now for the big rock stars.
Which was a common
they
thing,
still do the same thing.
We got to get a Malofsky T-shirt.
I wouldn't mind. You have to spell it backwards. I wouldn't mind that at all. That would be great.
That would be very good. We could do it backwards.
Do they make Yiddish T-shirts in New York?
Oh yes, I have one. Recently, somebody just came out with a whole T-shirt of Yiddish sayings. I'll have to show it to you.
Oh, I'd love to have one of those.
So, Mort, you used to travel around in this old 1938 Buick.
Right, the old 38 Buick,
we went
from Florida to Canada. We used to sing.
2 days.
We used to sing down in Miami at the Dade County Auditorium, and it was 90 degrees. And then you get in the car and travel for 3 days and go up to Winnipeg.
We're 16 below zero.
Right. They used to give us the fur hats to wear, and they used to bring in special streetcars to take people home. We run 3-4 nights in a row. And they had concerts, and they jammed, load the place up.
Yeah.
And we had the old 38 Buick, where when it got cold, we had to drain the water out every night, and so the rat eater wouldn't freeze.
Now, all six of the children were together?
Oh, yeah, always.
Eight of us. Mom and Pop and the six kids.
And a pianist. A pianist who used to rehearse the orchestras when we had orchestras.
Oh, wait. All nine of you were in this one car?
Mom, we were very friendly. We called him our piano tuna because he only ate tuna sandwiches. And he was very religious and he wouldn't eat any meat, so he was tuna. Piano tuna.
As we became more popular, we traveled with two cars, one following the other because we used to take the piano tuna and his wife. And we used to all travel together. So we followed one another.
This must have been some scene with an old 38 Buick coming up with nine people.
Yeah, and a brand new Hudson. We used to have an old Hudson.
We never had a brand new car in our lives. We had a 1938 Buick and a 1929 Hudson.
I sat on the seat. We had the greatest experiences. We laughed and we cried and we ate.
We were scared.
We used to make sandwiches
snow.
In the car. And we used to see the snow and the ice. We used to cry the whole way home.
And then all of a sudden, Papa would
think of a melody. Something to sing. We used to start to sing
in the car. And that's where we started. That's where we made all Papa's recitations.
Funny experiences, like where we were traveling down near Florida, and it became Friday afternoon, and we'd have to stay over Shabbos. So we would check into a motel for the weekend, Friday afternoon, and our experiences were several times where we'd get the motel. They had big homes instead of the little rooms, so they would give us the home in one couple of times, they found an old-fashioned Victrola and found the Malofsky family records in the motel houses that we stayed in.
We got a chance to hear all our beautiful music that we used to sing before.
Right. Now, you must have been some problem eating along the way.
We always went to grocery stores, usually, and made our own food. Yeah, and Mama, we used to kochelein in the hotel rooms.
We had a
and
sunbeam.
And we weren't allowed to do that.
We had an electric frying pan. and that frying pan, I still have it. We used to make all our own, we used to try to find the kosher butcher and the kosher everything.
We used to take the food with us and heat it up and make soups and stuff like that. And the landlords or the people from the hotel used to, I smell something. Like, no way.
Ironically, none of us were overweight till we slowed down on the city.
That's true. We're always skinny, like, really. But it was always a beautiful experience to look back at it.
That's where we made most of Papa's songs. We used to sit in the car, and we all felt like crying, but instead of crying, we sang. Either we were laughing or crying, yeah, and then he used to start us to, if we would fight. Well, your kids fight.
Sure.
Papa used to start to sing, and we all had to stop fighting and start singing.
That's right. Especially,
and that kept us from fighting.
Especially when we were waiting for a truck in the snow to come so we could follow the truck. In the tracks of the truck, this is the truth. We used to get snowbound, and we couldn't go out into the road or the highway, so we waited for a big tractor trailer, and we used to go right behind them in his tracks. So we knew we could.
We got caught in some terrible situations, very near tragic situations in the cars, traveling all the time. And we still shake on certain days of the year.
The snowbelt of Albany and Syracuse and Rochester.
Yeah. Right between, we used to go to Montreal was a very big place for us because they had a lot of Yiddish people in Montreal at that time, especially.
We did a lot of theater in Montreal. With the actors, we used to act on Second Avenue. We were with all the old-time actors.
We did a show. Was it in Montreal or Toronto? Yeah, where what's his name was our master of ceremonies from Bonanza.
From Bonanza.
What's his name? The head of the Lauren Green.
Lauren Green was our announcer.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you.
Lauren Green was our.
That was in Raymond Massey Hall in Toronto, Canada.
Oh yeah.
And Lauren Green was a native of Toronto, Canada. And also very, very amiable Jewish type of person.
He spoke Yiddish.
Wait. Lauren Green from the Bonanza spoke Yiddish?
He was our master of ceremonies in Canada. Yeah. And one of our, not all the time, but on this particular one.
When we first came to New York and we had our radio station, there wasn't enough things to keep us busy besides going out of town and all. So we started, they heard us, Rechtzeit and everybody, and Seymour, and he told us that they would love to use us in the Yiddish theater. So we went down to Second Avenue
in the Clinton Theater,
and we worked for years, every weekend.
What was his name, Rosenberg?
Rosenberg.
Yeah,
Rosenberg.
They called
it Mifl Rosenberg
and his wife was a Yiddish shiksa, they used to call her.
And we had the Yiddish theater. So whoever was there, Maury Schwartz was
Aaron
there,
Lebedoff.
Aaron Lebedoff. We sang
with
him.
We
worked with everybody in the Yiddish theater.
It was a beautiful experience for
now,
us.
Now, take us... up to 1950 when Papa arranged a tour for Israel. Was this your first time in Israel?
Yes. We started to work on Israel, and he insisted that we had to see Israel and Israel has to see us. So finally it worked out. He got two managers. Two got knew of him. Whatever you want to do with
we
that.
We weren't too swift with managers. So he got these managers, and they made arrangements for us to go to Israel.
I was the suitcase carrier. And when we got to Israel, actually, the plane landed in Lud. It was going into Friday, Shabbos.
You had to loan the...
I sat next to Moshe Dayan. And when we stopped in Switzerland, he used my razor to shave in the bathroom in the airport.
He still has the razor. He still holds the razor as a memento.
And it became dark on the way because they kept us in Newfoundland. Something was wrong with the plane, and we had to stop and stay overnight.
That was LL. That was at that time they called it
LL with the Constellation airplane.
That's how
we were. And
we support Israeli girls orphan home. It was the Jewish orphanage for girls, and we supported that from many years. So they took busloads of the girls to come meet us at the airport.
Well, wait.
When we came to Israel.
This first time now, you were stuck in Newfoundland. You were stuck in Newfoundland, and so this is 1952.
Yeah, so we were coming late.
Right.
So we came into Shabbos.
So we had to stay at the airport
overnight. They davened on the plane and they davened on the field. Yeah, but Moshe Dayan got into the middle of the airplane, all the men, and Moshe Dayan included, and Papa and Mati and my brothers, and they all started to daven. And it was seeing the dark come over in the airplane. We're up with 37,000 feet, and you see it getting dark, and the stars coming out, and they're standing in the middle of the plane davening. It was so impressive, I never forgot it. And then when we came into the Lud, the girls, it came too late.
So they had to take the girls back to the orphanage.
They had a whole bunch of people waiting to greet us. And they all went away. We came into an empty airport, and it was so sad. And we had to stay overnight in the airport.
And little rooms.
Little rooms.
They split us up pretty much.
Eight little rooms, and we all had a little room. And it was so sad.
It was so scary, too. We were in a new town, in a new place in the whole world, and we were thousands of miles away from home, and we were just terrified about the whole thing. But it worked out beautifully.
But then they had a greeting for us. They had a big party.
Saturday night.
In the hotel.
Don't you remember that Goldie caught cold?
Yeah, she caught
and the
cold.
First concert that we were supposed to have, Goldie could hardly talk.
The first year. Goldie, who was a star, basically, of the whole family, because this is Goldie. They used to call her Geveret Goldie in Hebrew. That means
Madam.
Yeah. They said they want to send Goldie Meir here and keep Goldie Malofsky there. They loved Geveret Goldie. They used to stand outside the window like they do for the
children used to chant to us in the morning.
Geveret Goldie.
They used to chant to us every morning to come down. They want to see us. It was a beautiful thing.
We had to have bodyguards to take us from the theaters to our cars because they were we used to tear our clothes off. So Papa used to say all the time, so sich nicht Kinder, das ist eine jüdische Mensch, okay.
They were tearing our clothes off. There's one concert we made. I'm not sure where. Every night we made one or two concerts and travel. We were so tired. It was just...
And then all the money. We left all the money in Israel. We took nothing home.
But we had one concert.
And the 16 pieces of luggage that we had, we came home with one piece of luggage.
We left everything with them there. All the monies that we made and everything. And there was one concert that we made where they were hanging from the rafters because we were young kids at the time. And we were attractive, and we were thin.
Oh, you're still not so bad right now.
And on one bench, the Israelis couldn't believe it, because the children in Israel don't have much to do with their parents, the young people, at that time. So on one bench, you'd find young children and senior citizens and grandparents.
And the people from B'nai Brak with the very religious and the very, and they're not so religious.
And they said we brought the children together with their families because at that time the family wasn't such a big thing in Israel.
Now, your father was singing with you all the time.
All the time.
Sang without him ever.
But this one concert, we left to get into the car, and we could not leave. They were tearing our clothes. They laid on the floor, and we couldn't get on the ground.
We could not get
the car started.
There was an Israeli wrestler.
Yeah, we had a bodyguard.
That was very famous here in the United States for a while.
Raphael, I can't remember his name. He was our bodyguard.
He used to walk us through to the cars, and then he used to get the people off the cars so they could drive them away.
We couldn't drive away.
We had two limousines there, two taxi drivers who we became very friendly with also.
Zev means Wolfie, so we called him Wolfie because his name was Zev.
Uh-huh.
The other was Moshe, but I can't remember his last name.
How long were you in Israel on this trip?
Well, we were there more than 2 months. Every day we had two concerts. We were exhausted.
We had an accident in Israel, too.
We had a car accident.
Yeah,
and we were all laid up with a car accident.
She still suffers with her neck from that accident.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the paper. We had to miss one night singing, and it was in the
Laisha. They gave us flowers. We had flowers flown everywhere. The hotel rooms were crowded with flowers. Because the Malofskys were in an accident.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had to stay in one hotel called Malon Israel because they're the only place that served kosher food.
At that time.
The hotel. That was at Svat Yam.
Svat Yam, right on the ocean. Malon Israel, yes, that was it. It was not exactly a Hilton, let's face it.
I tell you, when we had the concerts and Papa sang, the people they just couldn't believe it. They loved Papa so much. And at every concert, they never failed to call out Mama to take a bow.
Stand in the back all the time.
Ima. They would scream, Ima. Bees, bees,
bees. Bees, bees, Ima. And they wouldn't leave the hotel, the theater, until she...
Yeah, that was quite an experience. It's such a pleasure for us to be able to see what Israel has developed into. Because when we were there, they were relatively new.
In 1952, we were there at Yom HaTzmaut. They were born in 48, Israel, and we were there in 52. So
actually, it was very new.
It's only 4 years.
And everybody was all steamed up about Israel. They were so heartfelt. Everybody loved it, and they were so proud to be there.
One of our managers had a office right on the
Diesendorf Street.
Right near the big theater there. What was the name of that big
Habima?
Theater?
Another
name.
And they had the parade.
They had the parade there.
So we all went out to see. They took us to their balcony so we could watch that fourth parade,
of Yom HaTzmaut. We were there.
I think I still have some old film of that parade with people sitting in the trees.
And
they climbed into the trees to watch the Yom HaTzmaut parade. Old 8mm film that we had in that time.
My brother Al, who's my oldest man, a wonderful person. He was always very broken up about everything that happened with our family because everything didn't go exactly right like it should, and he wanted to be the one that was the boss person in the world.
He wanted it to go well. He wanted it to go as best as it could, and we did the best we could under the circumstances because it's not exactly the Yiddish business is not exactly the priority in the world at this point, but we stuck to the Yiddish guide,
used to say, the family that prays together stays together.
Yeah, one of the sayings was also that the hillbilly records the girls used to make, they used to say it's going to break wide open in Oklahoma, but no Yiddish record ever did.
The Grand Ole Opry never happened to Yiddish guide. We could still make a Grand Ole Yiddish Opry if we could.
Right.
Because we can still sing the Yiddish like we used to.
We were supposed to do stuff like that.
Yeah, but we always went in and recorded. We made lots of albums, and we recorded with companies and without companies, but we had to record Papa's music, and we are very proud of every album that we have. We even have a company in Israel that we had our own company. And all the money that was made was donated back into Israel.
Well, Rabbi Frankel was the Rabbi Rush.
Yedidi Frankel was the head rabbi of Tel Aviv. Now his son, Issa Frankel, is very important person.
And made the company with us.
Son-in-law.
And we gave all the authority and everything to Issa Frankel to produce the records. Rabbi Issa Frankel. And he then is in charge of all the proceeds and how they are dedicated to whomever needs them, and he is in charge of all of that.
And he also was there when we sent the ambulance, the Mogen Dovid ambulance.
We dedicated an ambulance to Papa's 90th birthday.
Yeah. What year was that? How many years ago would that be? 1985.
Yeah, Lakewood also presented us with a plaque from the township committee, mayor and township committee. Gave us
honorary
mayor of Lakewood for that.
Papa's honorary mayor of Florida, too.
Papa's honorary mayor of Miami. We still have the key and everything that was presented to him.
So this experience in Israel certainly was something quite memorable. You were there for 2 months, and then what happened afterwards? Were you in Lakewood?
My brother got the call that his wife had a child.
Where were we?
And we were in Tveria.
This is Al.
Al.
Yes.
And he flew. They kicked off one of the cabinet members from the plane.
We got him a flight home, and
home for the bris.
And they named him. They named the boy Moshe Lev because of the Rambam's name. We were on the Rambam's Kaver when the news came that the boy was born, Mark.
And that was one of our experiences. And then we all
came. And then we had to do some concerts without him, which was very difficult, because when one person is missing from the choir, it's like...
And he was the announcer. So we had a whole new routine. But when we finally got home, we were all together. We were so bright with our future and our singing that they invited us to Carnegie Hall, and they invited us to Town Hall. We had special concerts. And we
used to open all the big programs that they had on the TV programs and on Madison Square Garden. They used to invite us to give the opening prayer. You know, Papa used to always tell a story about the family that pulls together. You said the family that prays together. Mm. Papa used to tell about this very wealthy man in the old country that used to drive a team of horses that came from all parts of the world. They were gifts to him that came stallions, and they pulled his wagon. And one day they were going through a muddy field, and they got stuck. And the horses, as much as they beat them, could not pull the wagon out of the mud. And over in the distance, he saw a farmer that was working his field. And he sent his people to see the farmer had horses pulling his plow. And there were two little white horses.
So he said, "Where did you get your horses?"
And
he said,
"Wait, that's not over yet." And the two little white horses, could you help pull us out of the... So the man said, "I have only my two little white horses." He says, "But I'll take care of your wagon." And he took his two white horses, he hitched them to the horses and the wagon, and he said, "Pull," and they pulled, and they pulled out the horses and the wagon and everybody. And then the man turned and said, "Where did you get your... How could your two little white horses pull my big horses out?" And he asked him, "Where did he get his horses?" And he said, "One came from the king of Egypt, and he gave me a set. This one came from Arabia. This one came from there." And the man said, "Where did you get your little white horses?" And he says, "Well, they're from one mother and one father, and when they pull together."
And that's why we sing together the way we did. We were only eight voices, but people used to tell us we sounded like 20, because we had that same vibration, the same sound, the same everything.
You know, sometimes when you hear harmony, there's a buzz. And for some reason or other, every time we sang, there was that buzz.
Well, what about those Alpha records that we made that were supposed to be for stress?
Yeah, we have. We made an album for Alpha, A-L-P-H-A.
Oh, I think, isn't there a rabbi more in Florida?
My namesake.
Your namesake.
Named after the same grandfather.
And I do have those Alpha tapes, yes.
And they were supposed to be to help people with stress and to heal and to sit back and relax and listen to the music that would take the stress away.
And now we're in the 50s, and you came back from Israel, and you appeared in Carnegie Hall and Town Hall. And then what happened to the family, to the singing?
We were in New York, and New York, of course, at that time, the shuls, the synagogues throughout the city of New York and the boroughs were really going to pot a little bit. The membership was dropping off, and everything was turning a little sour. What happened is they started to hire us to give concerts in the shuls and the different synagogues to bring in people to have a membership drive. And we used to give Hanukkah concerts and Purim concerts and all different kind of concerts. And they would load the temples and the synagogues up and bring people in and have membership drives. And for some reason or other...
No, there was the Orthodox sect. There's a thing in the shuls. It's an Orthodox saying. It's a kol ba'isha ervo. You're not supposed to hear a woman sing because it distracts you from your davening. And we, of course, are women. We were predominantly women in the choir. So we were excommunicated from all the shuls. When we were singing once in Eastern Parkway, we in a shul, so they were walking around with placards. To Kensington.
They threw smoke bombs in the shul.
You're not supposed to hear a woman sing. Now there's women rabbis and women cantors and women everything. And just basically a few years ago.
Yeah, but you know, there was a fan club in Israel for Cantor Malofsky, my father. And they had found somewhere in the old scriptures that in the original Beis Hamikdash, there was a father who sang with his family, with his children, brothers and sisters, who were emissa brothers and sisters, and sang together, and that we are replicas of that era.
Didn't they say Moses' sister Miriam sang?
Papa could never get over that in the write-ups in the paper, they wrote things about us, and they called us treif. And Papa could never believe it. and it was a very terrible thing. So from that, we said, why should we have hardships with that? We'll go to hotels. And that's when we started to daven at the hotels for Yishab, for Yontif, a weekend for Passover.
We made the Passover Seder
service. We used to make the Seder service. Nobody made a better Seder service than we did. We used to sing and dance all hours of the night. It was absolutely beautiful. With the Fir Kashas, our Fir Kashas record.
I love your Fir Kashas. Yes.
They sing the Fir Kashas all over the country in every little school.
Let's take a moment to hear the magnificent version of the Fir Kashas by the Malofsky family. To a close, I remind you that next Sunday evening we will be preempted. We're not going to be on the.
Okay, those were announcements from 21 years ago, and they had to do with a Renaissance fair that Chabad was running and so forth. In any event, I hope you're enjoying this a rather informal interview that took place 21 years ago in Lakewood. And stay tuned for the second hour, where we'll be continuing with this conversation with the four Malofsky children, Goldie, Gitti, and Mort, and Ruthie. Sadly, Goldie, Kitty, and Mort have passed away since then, and I am so pleased that I was able to be there and meet them. They're just such a wonderful group of people, and the children of the great Cantor Shmuel Malofsky.